Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Air Purifier Thunderstorm. The three-pack is back. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. My little heart can't take no more surprises. First, the Daily Mail tells me that despite what we had heard prior, masking children actually could hurt their mental health. Say what? Who could have seen this one coming? Not me. I didn't see anything wrong with it. Let's all mask up for the rest of our lives. What could possibly go wrong? Well, there's more shocking news here. Now, you really got to get the dun-dun-dun ready for this, Jared. A lot of the Hunter Biden stories we heard during the campaign, they turned out to be true. I know, okay? Do not let this destroy your faith in the integrity of the mainstream media, of NPR, of CNN, of all of these geniuses that tell us what to believe every single day, of Joe Biden, of Dr. Jilly Bean. These are very honest people. They just happen to miss this one story. Now, the laptop from hell is very real. The first inkling I had that it was real was the fact that it was left at a shop to get fixed by Hunter Biden, who has a history of being a drug addict and other problems. So it kind of made sense that he could leave something behind. He's also left things behind in rental cars, so it wouldn't be the first time he's lost an item.
I probably smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
Yeah, I don't think Parmesan cheese, snorting it, really helps with your memory. But the second thing was when he was on an interview with ABC and he basically admitted it. He said, oh, yeah, and this was long after his dad was at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So everything was secure. But he said, yeah, it could be. It could be mine. Sure. Yeah, why not? But Miranda Devine has been on top of this for a long time and she has a new book out. It's called Laptops from Hell. And I can't wait to read it. But there's a really awesome excerpt in the New York Post today. And last time I read something from Miranda Devine, we put a little music behind it. And it got great reviews, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it was one of my best moments on the show. So I thought, let's have a sequel. Now, this one's not as juicy, but I do like all the players. I especially get a kick out of Jim Biden, Joe's brother, because he looks just like Joe Biden, but he's somehow even more out to lunch than Joe. And actually, he's in this piece. He's physically out to lunch. But he seems like this dopey kind of brother who's getting them. He's getting them in all these bad situations. And it's amusing to me. So I picked some music for this. I think it's going to work. This is Joe Biden was involved in a deal with a Chinese giant and was expecting a 10% cut. Hunter Biden and his uncle Jim were already waiting for Tony Bobulinski in the lobby bar of the Beverly Hilton when he arrived at 10 p.m. on May 2nd, 2017. For Bobulinski, a third-generation Navy veteran and Democratic donor, it would be his first meeting with Joe Biden, and he was conscious that he was being vetted for a trusted role orchestrating the Biden family's existing joint venture with Chinese energy conglomerate CEFC. "Dad not in until 11," Hunter wrote in a WhatsApp message. "Let's me, you, and Jim meet at 10 at Beverly Hilton, where he's staying." When Bobulinski arrived at the bar, Uncle Jim, 7 years younger than his brother and more heavyset but still a dead ringer for Joe, greeted him like an old friend, although it was the first time they met. At that hour, the only other person in the bar was casino operator Steve Wynn. We could get into that another time.
Just a nobody in the background.
Sitting with a woman on the other side of the room. Hunter and Bobulinski drank water while Jim ordered a club sandwich with fries and explained that the meeting with Joe was strictly high level. We will not go into any detail about the business, said Hunter. I just want my dad to be comfortable with you. At 10:38, Joe arrived through the hotel's front entrance with his Secret Service entourage, and Hunter jumped up to intercept him. 5 minutes later, he brought his father to the table. Bobulinski stood up to shake Joe's hand. This is Tony, Dad, said Hunter, the individual I told you about that's helping us with the business that we're working on with the Chinese. I'm going to skip around a little bit here. Joe began by talking about the Biden family.
Did he say he was Jill's husband?
I'm Jill's husband. Ha ha ha. Joe began by talking about the Biden family, their tragedies, and his political career. I'm sure he went into like corn pop, lifeguarding, you know, being a football player, hitting a ball over some mountains. Who knows? This could have been 5 minutes. It could have been 5 hours. Bobulinski described his background as captain of the Penn State wrestling team and briefly outlined an impressive resume, including as a nuclear engineer and instructor in the Navy's elite nuclear power training command with a high-level security clearance. Thank you for your service, Joe said. Thank you for helping my son. Jim and Hunter told Joe that Bobulinski had been working hard on the Chinese deal, and Joe said, My son and my brother trust you emphatically, so I trust you. Bobulinski had passed the test. It was a crucial meeting, because for the first time, an outsider would see the extent to which Joe was involved in Hunter and Jim's international business. The conversation wrapped up within 45 minutes. Joe was tired, but he invited Bobulinski to meet him again at 8:30 a.m. the next day in the hotel ballroom to hear him speak at the Milken Confab of chief executives, wealthy investors, and fund managers. As soon as he got home, Bobulinski messaged Jim Biden on WhatsApp at 11:40 p.m. Great to meet you and spend some time together. Please thank Joe for his time. It was great to talk. Thanks. The next morning, Bobulinski went back to the Beverly Hilton and sat at the head table listening to Joe talk on stage with L.A. billionaire and notorious insider trader Michael Milken. Backstage afterwards, Joe asked, "What did you think of my speech?" They walked outside together to his waiting car and shook hands. "Keep an eye on my son and brother and look out for my family," Joe said. Bobulinski then headed across Santa Monica Boulevard to meet Jim, who was sitting alone in a blue and white cabana by the rooftop pool on a glorious sunny day. For 2 hours, he told Bobulinski about Biden family folklore. Oh my God, someone get this guy a stiff drink. Going back to
Joe's, no wonder he gave up the goods on him.
Going back to Joe's first Senate election in Delaware in 1972. Oh, did he tell him the motel story about Joe and the towel?
I don't see how he couldn't.
Yikes. When Jim, then 23, dabbling in the nightclub business after dropping out of the University of Delaware, became his brother's chief fundraiser. He's very Fredo, this Jim, isn't he?
Is dabbling in the nightclub business going to a strip club?
He's like, Joey, I'm running this nightclub. It's going so great. I'm smart, too. I'm not dumb like all those people say. Jim filled him in on the efforts he and Hunter made for CEFC the past 2 years, leveraging Joe's name to advance the Chinese Communist Party's Belt and Road agenda around the world. That all sounds normal to me. As Jim talked, Bobulinski marveled at the political risks to Joe's career if his family's flagrant influence peddling during his vice presidency came to light. How are you guys getting away with this? He finally asked. Aren't you concerned that you're going to put your brother's 2020 presidential campaign at risk? You know, the Chinese, the stuff that you guys have been doing already in 2015 and 2016 around the world? Jim chuckled and looked knowingly at Bobulinski. Plausible deniability, he said. Bobulinski understood Jim meant that Joe knew what his family was doing in his name, but was insulated from the dirty details. Occasionally, they would let their guard down, but the family was paranoid about keeping Joe's involvement quiet, which made Bobulinski a dangerous foe when he later blew the whistle on the shady enterprise. Less than 2 weeks after meeting Joe Biden, Bobulinski incorporated Sinohawk Holdings LLC in May of 2017, having decided against Hunter's suggestion they call it CEFC America. It would be a global investment firm seeded with $10 million of Chinese money that would buy projects in the U.S. and around the world in global and or domestic infrastructure, energy, financial services, and other strategic sectors, said the contract he had drawn up. Sinohawk would be 50% owned by Yi Jianming, chairman of CEFC. The other 50% would be owned by Oneida Holdings, another Delaware firm set up by Bobulinski. Oneida would be split accordingly. All right, this is the percentages. 20% Hunter, 20% for Walker, 20% for Gillier. These are other people involved. 20% for Bobulinski, 10% for Jim, 10 held by H for the big guy. Hunter Biden called his dad the big guy or my chairman and referenced him frequently. Joe was called the big guy in other emails on Hunter's laptop or in WhatsApp messages on Bobulinski's phone. Later, Gillier warned Bobulinski in a WhatsApp message, "Don't mention Joe being involved. It's only when we are face to face. I know you know, but they are paranoid." Bobulinski, already frustrated by Hunter's demands, replied, "Okay, they should be paranoid about things." Well, in hindsight, they didn't really have to be paranoid about things. I mean, if they had known the kind of coverage they were going to get from like NPR and NBC and CNN and the New York Times, if they had known that they were Teflon, that they were going to be so protected by our embarrassing mainstream media, I don't know if they should have been that paranoid. They actually could have been a little more loosey-goosey, you know? Very interesting.
Like they are now.
Yeah, they could have been a lot more open about it like they are now. 844-500-4242. We still have a lot to get to here. Elizabeth Warren 2.0. I actually have sound of the new Elizabeth Warren that you guys are going to want to hear. And did you see this account, Jared? It's called Defiant L's.
I love Defiant L's, yes.
We're going to have you explain it to people because it's a really funny account. It's similar to Libs of TikTok, but they have a complaint from a Lib.
Oh, okay.
And whenever a liberal wants you to be censored, you can rest assured you're doing something right. And that is this case. It's true what they say at Perfect Smiles. Change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie, the mailroom manager, and with so many people. Many people walk around not smiling because they aren't happy with their teeth. That is no way to live. It really is amazing. If you watch their testimonial videos at perfectsmiles.com, you'll really see some incredible transformations. And I think the biggest takeaway I get from when I watch these testimonial videos is that people just wish they had done it sooner, because you can make excuses to yourself. You can tell yourself you don't really need to get your teeth done. But once you do, your world changes. You feel so much better about yourself. Your confidence is up. And there's no better place to get this done than with Dr. Houghton. He's an artist. Perfect Smiles is amazing. They're conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire. Parking is free. The staff is warm and welcoming. And if you've been waiting to upgrade your look, now is the time. Contact them today. Look at their video testimonials. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. We'll be back with your calls, 844-500-4242, and a lot more sound to get to. Don't go anywhere.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will you follow the Ghislaine Maxwell trial?
I will. It is my job. And I just want to reassure people. I'm getting a lot of messages. One of them is from Denise on Facebook. She said, "Please, Grace, please be on board with the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. It's much more important than the Jesse Smollett. These men are pedophiles and the spotlight should be kept on them." Referring to, obviously, the Jeffrey Epstein and company. I will be keeping up with this. Don't worry. I guess what I just mean is I'm not going to follow closely the 24/7 coverage that we're going to see on some of these news stations, mostly because I don't trust what they say either. But I'll definitely be following it. Don't worry. I'll give you guys all the important updates as they come out. So fear not. I will be following the Ghislaine Maxwell of it all.
65% of the audience says no, not really.
All right, now we need to talk about Defiant L's of Twitter. This is a fun story. We'll keep taking your calls for the rest of the show. 844-500-4242. Now, Jack Dorsey announced today that he's stepping down as the CEO of Twitter. A lot of people started celebrating. Don't get so excited, all right? They've already got a new CEO who seems like he's more pro-censorship than Jack Dorsey ever was, okay? So the devil you know is sometimes better than the devil you don't know. We're about to get the devil we don't know, so get ready. That story breaks, and it reminded me of another story that came out this weekend, which was so funny. So Defiant L's of Twitter. Tell us a little bit about that, Jared.
So a lot of our audience is familiar with Libs of TikTok.
Yes.
Which is a Twitter account which posts videos of liberals saying insane or doing insane things or whatever. Defiant L's, so they're using L in terms of like it's a loss. Like if you lose, you hang an L. Sports team, they hung an L. So
they say you got to take the L. Take the loss. Just move on, take the loss.
And Defiant Loss is, it's basically a timeline of an original tweet from somebody and then the follow-up tweet from that. So for example, they have one right here from a Barbara Malmet, whoever that is, in November of 2020, as a New Yorker born and bred, I don't want your stinking vaccine, Donald Trump. So then she posts again in September of this year, if you are not vaccinated, you should have zero contact with the public.
Right. So it's a before and after.
The L. Yes.
Yeah. So you have to take the loss because you're a hypocrite and you have nothing to stand on. Well, it gets really funny because there's this woman, Amy Siskind, and she's a blue check mark. And similar to that tweet you just read, in August of 2020, she wrote, Trump is taking a page from Putin's playbook and trying to bully the FDA into making a COVID-19 vaccine available before stage three of testing is complete. And then in all caps, because most sane people are constantly writing in all caps with several exclamation points. She writes, he will kill us all! 71 days. Now, November 28th, 2021, she writes, boosted! Had an appointment I made last week, listened to and read advice from our public health officials, and they are unanimous on the need to get vaccinated and keep up with the vaccinations. Trust science! Well, she gets posted on Defiant L's, which is very similar to Libs of TikTok, and they just are showing the difference between, you know, what a different administration can do for your confidence in vaccines. And rather than take the L, she decided to go full-blown totalitarian and say, no, I want this account removed. This is her tweet. I reported this account, meaning Defiant L's, and encourage you all to as well. It is a hub for disinformation, which has bands of trolls that follow its lead for targeted harassment. It is also a spoke for vaccine disinformation. Please take the time to report. In other words, they caught you in your hypocrisy, and now you want them thrown off of Twitter. This is politics in 2021. Like, if you're going to get called out, you know, your tweets are there. We can all see them. At least own up to it. This is the opposite of owning up to it. This is saying, oh, I'm so mad you caught me in this hypocrisy. Now you have to leave. Where is Jack Dorsey or the new guy, whoever the new guy is? Get this account off of Twitter. Why? All they did was post your own tweets. If you're not,
how dare you quote me against myself, sir?
Oh, do they take you out of context? Is context important? Because they're your tweets. They're just copy and pasted. It really is amazing. And speaking of snowflakes, did you see what's going on with Arizona State University? They're mad that Kyle Rittenhouse is there. And so they want to get him, you know, of course, canceled, censored, thrown off campus, whatever the appropriate terms are. They're rallying to boot Kyle Rittenhouse out of Arizona State University. My favorite part about this, they have a list of demands. Oh, you notice that a lot of liberals do that now. They come up with a list of demands. and they want all these different things. The funniest part is he's taking online courses. He's not even there physically. It's not like you're going to
Guns can reach through computers, Grace.
It's not like you're going to run into him in the cafeteria.
Also, if there's a guy I'm not going to try and take a shot at or take a run at, it's going to be Kyle Rittenhouse.
When we get back, we have some sound from Neil Oliver that I think everybody wants to hear. And we are talking about the new Rachel Dolezal. You don't want to miss it.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. There's just, I say this all the time, but there really is so much news to get to. I haven't even gone to any of the Joe Biden cuts, but I really am determined to get through these next three or four stories because they are, some of them are hilarious and some of them, it's just, it comes with some great sound. So I want to make sure we roll through all of these. But before we do that, I think it's important today. The Jussie Smollett case, the Ghislaine Maxwell case, it's a lot of cases that are finally coming to fruition here. They were put on hold because of COVID. And specifically with Jussie Smollett, I do think this deserves a trip down memory lane.
Thought I had forgot the past, and now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane.
If you forgot what happened with Jussie Smollett, I'm just kidding. I don't think anyone has forgotten. I mean, that is burned into all of our brains. He claimed that he was attacked by two MAGA hat wearing Trump supporters in the freezing cold. I think it was in Chicago. And everyone was on board with it because you're not allowed to ask questions without being called a racist. So everyone was kind of like, okay, this makes sense. You know, it's freezing cold. You're in Chicago, two MAGA hat wearing people come over when you're leaving a Subway with a sandwich and they put a rope around your neck. And sure, why not? And then it slowly started to unravel, and it actually turned out that he paid two guys to attack him to make it appear as though he was the victim of a hate crime, when really it was
I think that what people need to hear is just the truth.
It was a fake hate crime. And I was looking through some of these old cuts of him, and there's just one I really did want to play here. They're just flashbacks. Play whichever one you want, Jared. They're all hilarious.
I want that video found so badly because for probably four reasons. Number one, I want them to find the people that did it. Number two, I want them to stop being able to say alleged attack. Number three, I want them to see that I fought back.
Okay, so number one, you
That's
want
why to, he said probably four and only gave three.
Number one, they want to find the people that did it. Mission accomplished. They found the people that were paid to do it. Number two, you want them to stop saying alleged. Well, that one didn't come true. And what was the third one? I don't even remember.
That he fought back.
Oh, that he fought back. Right.
Going to show those Nigerians for Trump.
I mean, I would hope that if I paid actors to come out and pretend to attack me, that I would fight back. I hope I have enough courage, you know, in this theatrical hate crime to fight back.
I fought back so well that I managed to keep my sandwich from falling into the snow so I could go home and enjoy it.
It really was one of the most entertaining stories ever. But speaking of fakers, the reason I wanted to go down memory lane and have a flashback is because there's a new faker in the news. This is Elizabeth Warren 2.0. This is really funny. And this is like a phenomenon that we've been seeing over and over again. We had Rachel Dolezal pretend to be black. We had Elizabeth Warren pretend to be Native American. Recently, we had Ilaria Baldwin, who...
Cucumbers.
I could talk about her all day long. I'm fascinated by her. She cracks me up. She never quits, you know? She never loses her steam. Just when you think, oh, she's definitely never going to go on social media again, she comes out and is like, my cat is missing or something. She's an amazing person. But we have a new person. So I want to put those people on the back burner for the day, and I want to focus on Carrie Bourassa, all right? Carrie Bourassa was a public health expert who served as scientific director of the Canadian Institutes of Health Research's Institute. That can't be right. Is that a typo? The Canadian Institutes of Health Research's Institute of Indigenous. Why do I always struggle with this? This is my bugaboo word. Indigenous people's health. She was suspended on November 1st, 5 days after the state-owned Canadian Broadcasting Corporation published a lengthy expose on her background. Far from being a member of the Métis Nation, as she had long claimed, a trace of Bourassa's family tree revealed that her supposedly indigenous ancestors were in fact immigrant farmers who hailed from Russia, Poland, and Czechoslovakia. That doesn't sound Native American to me. It makes you feel this. There's so many parts of this that I highlighted because it really makes me laugh. It makes you feel a bit sick, said Janet Smiley, a Métis professor at the University of Toronto, who worked with Barusso on a book about indigenous parenting. This lady was not holding back. But like all of these stories,
she wasn't just happy with a cold crab omelet. She wanted to tell you how to raise your kids.
Well, that's what I mean, Jared. I'm glad you brought that up because Elizabeth Warren, as much as she was a pioneer in this industry, she had no idea what it was going to become. You know, she had no idea the risks that people would take to follow in her footsteps. Because the cold crab omelet, there was a big story when it first broke, but now it seems like amateur hour. Now it seems like, come on, give us more, you know, write a book on Native American parenting or something.
And she's an elder of the appropriation tribe at this point, so.
To have an imposter who is speaking on behalf of Métis and indigenous people to the country about literally what it means to be Métis, that's very disturbing and upsetting and harmful. Colleagues began to doubt Bourassa's story as she began to add claims of Anishinaabe and Tlingit heritage to her tale and took to dressing in stereotypically indigenous fashion. In other words, this is my own add-in, she was too cute by half. You know, she wasn't satisfied with the title and the books and I'm sure the paycheck. She wanted to put on a costume.
And Grace, as a theater major, you understand this. Don't lose yourself in the role.
You can't lose yourself in the role. It's so important. You know, that's when danger strikes. You have to know that, yes, you are an actor, but you have to draw the line. And this woman got way too messy. She thought she was a method actor. She thought she was Daniel Day-Lewis.
My name's Morning Star Bear.
All right, now this is where it all really goes downhill, okay? She decides to do a TEDx talk. I've heard of a TED talk. I don't know what a TEDx talk is. I don't know if that's like a better version of TED. She decides to give a TEDx talk at this university, and she appeared in full tribal, you know, regalia. She was draped in an electric blue shawl with a feather in her partially braided hair. You're following me here. She took it too far. Okay. She got a little too bold. And what happens next is pretty amazing. Here are some cuts from Carrie Bourassa, who claims her name is Morning Star Bear. And I should add something in. I'm seeing this article. This is from the New York Post. There's been different articles written about this and a lot of other conservative websites. You're not going to really see this on NBC or anything like that. But I decided, I'm like, oh, so she gave a TEDx talk. And there's this picture of her in this bright blue shawl with her hair braided. And I was thinking, well, there's got to be audio of that. You know, maybe I can have, you know, Matt or Jared pull the audio. We can play it. So I click on the YouTube of this TED talk. And I kid you not. You know how sometimes an ad pops up before? Do you know what the ad was for? It was for like DNA testing. It was like, find your heritage. And I was like, this is too funny.
Oh, you sneaky algorithm.
And by the way, I already know my heritage. I did one of those little tests. I'm a small percent West Asian, and I'm pretty much Irish. And, you know, I think, I don't even remember what the other one was, Baltic maybe. But I know my heritage. I'm not going to write a book about being West Asian. That seems like a bit of a stretch. But these people are nothing if not bold. So let's listen to Morning Star Bear, cut 20.
My name's Morning Star Bear.
Notice the quiver in her voice. Notice the tears. You know, she's not just Morning Star Bear. She's Morning Star Bear. Cut 21.
We grew up in a really poor, disrupted family, and that was due to intergenerational trauma. and that caused addictions and violence and disruptment.
Cut 22, please.
My great-grandmother was Tlingit. She married an immigrant. They moved from the far northern BC into Saskatchewan, and they had a family.
You sit on a throne of lies. And what's up with the great-grandmothers? I'm sick of this. I am sick of people throwing their great-grandmothers under the bus. We saw this with Elizabeth Warren saying her great-grandmother had high cheekbones. This woman, you stop using your great-grandmothers as a scapegoat. It's getting irresponsible.
Now, I follow hockey, so I'm a little familiar with Canada. I don't know which part of British Columbia that Russia is in. Could somebody explain that to me, please?
Can we also just, can I hear a Morning Star Bear one more time?
My name's Morning Star Bear.
I don't know if that is an actual name, and I don't want to be insensitive if it is an actual name, but that kind of sounds like if you have to like do a project in school and you have to choose a name and you just see three words that you kind of like string together.
But Jared, I'm not being insensitive to someone whose actual name is Morning Star Bear.
Yeah.
We're making fun of the fact that her name is Carrie.
Yes.
Okay? It's like trying to convince people that you're from Spain and your name is Ilaria when your name is Hillary and you're from Massachusetts. No one's buying what you're saying.
Cucumbers.
The craziest part to me is that they don't think they're ever going to get caught. You know, every single time I see these, I'm like, did you really think that this, you were just going to get away with this forever? And what do you think her reaction was when she saw how people responded to, let's say, Ilaria Baldwin or Rachel Dolezal? Do you think she, I guess I just wonder if in these people's minds, these frauds, if she thinks to herself, yeah, but that's not what I'm doing. You know, mine's so much more meaningful than that. I fully believe. It's not a lie if I believe it.
Exactly.
I'm part of the George Costanza school of thought here, so I will be okay. I don't know. I don't understand it. All right, moving on here really quickly to a few sound cuts I did want to play today. This is Neil Oliver. He's a Scottish historian, and he was on the news, and he decided to talk a little bit about COVID and the restrictions, and it's going viral. Let's play a few of these cuts, Jared. Let's start with cut one.
Here we go again. With Christmas on the horizon, a holiday that should be a time for families to put the past behind them and look towards the future, a new variant of the virus has seemingly been dispatched from poor old Africa as the gift no one asked for and no one wants. After months of messages of fear from our governments and their favoured scientists, here comes more of the same. We can only presume that too many of us were seen to be awakening from the toxic trance into which we had been put by propaganda from the Nudge Unit.
All right, I just want to add in here, beyond the fact that he's making a lot of sense, I love his accent. Sounds like we're getting a story read to us. Cut two, please.
Fear has been the key to nearly 2 years of unprecedented power for politicians and their scientists. Fear has also blinded people to the reality of manipulation and mass hypnosis used to make them and to keep them compliant. But with that fear on the wane, losing its power to do harm, much like the virus was losing its power, it was plainly time to cast another spell. And here it is, in the form of yet another variant. How timely.
How timely, exactly. Cut three, please, Jared.
While our government, like so many governments around the world, seeks to eat yet more months, perhaps more years, out of the worn-out pandemic by replaying their greatest hits of last year, something else is becoming obvious, and it's that the virus seemingly had the power to stop people, including clever people, from thinking for themselves. COVID overcame logic, reason, and common sense. COVID even made some scientists unlearn science.
Yeah, and you know what? I recently read an article from Town Hall where, and I can't think of the author, I'll try to find it during the break, where he said, you know, I used to think the strongest emotions were love or hate, and now I realize it's fear. And then throughout the article, he breaks down how the most dangerous fear is rational fear. And I know that. I sometimes get worried about things that, hypotheticals, things that aren't going to happen, and it's such a time suck. It's such a waste of your time and your energy, and it's just negative. It doesn't produce anything. It doesn't help you at all. It doesn't fix anything. And that's exactly what this is. Let's play cut four.
I've heard it said today that the new variant might sidestep the vaccines and that it's therefore vital for everyone to get their booster shot. How does that work? The vaccines might not stop this variant, so take more vaccine. Some scientists and doctors are saying now that maybe they vaccinated too many people too quickly in some parts of the world, while not vaccinating enough people in other places like the African continent.
Cut five, please.
For a while there, those scientists, given the spotlight and the microphone, had a good go at driving a single narrative. It almost made sense for a while, in a twisted, not quite right, something funny going on there sort of way. Not anymore, though. Now the cracks are starting to show, the wheels coming off the state-sponsored wagon.
Now, in this last cut, I want you to keep in mind here, he's talking about the hubris of some of these experts, some of these people who get to tell us what to do. Just think about it while he's talking and see if anyone comes to mind with this last cut.
I've said all along that this would prove, when all was said and done, to be a tragic lesson in the hubris of some humans, the sort that wear white coats or that like to give press conferences, which is to say, overconfidence from those that said they had all the answers and that everyone else should just shut up and do what they're told. As the months go by, hubris seems more and more like the explanation for so much that has gone awry.
Well, Neil Oliver, I have a man who claims to be the science who would disagree with you, but that's neither here nor there. Really great sound. I'll make sure to tweet that out. I have a lot to tweet out after the show today. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
A fully vaccinated booster person is the most protected against COVID.
A booster person? Wow. Okay. Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Unfortunately, I'm about to welcome on to the show a non-booster person. Howie Carr, thanks for joining us.
I always thought of boosters were like people at the Chamber of Commerce, you know, who were telling you what a great business environment the local community is and how low taxes are and the schools are excellent.
Oh, like they're boosting you up.
Yeah, I thought that's what a booster was. I wasn't familiar with this kind of booster. But, you know, again, Joe, I wasn't familiar with the new variation of Omicron either.
Omicron. I was worried
so
that
today
I wrote it wrong.
I want to take a few moments to talk about the new COVID variant first identified last week in Southern Africa. It's called the Omicron.
They're coming fast and furious. Just yesterday, it was Omicron.
Yeah, it really is strange,
Omicron.
Howie. Howie, what do you got planned for the show today?
I think we're going to talk a lot about this and Dr. Fauci. Rand Paul said it was hubris, but I think it was more like megalomania.
Yeah, I think it's a God complex, to be honest. That's something I talked about today.
Yeah, I posted a column. I said, is he accusing Rand Paul of laissez majesté or blasphemy? I think it's blasphemy.
I agree. Howie Carr is coming up next, guys. He's got a great show planned, so do not go anywhere. I'll be back tomorrow.
Good morning, folks.